Well, I guess I'll read it like you do. This is Acts chapter 1, verse 12 and 14. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. Watch this. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Thus we read the word of God today. You can be seated. Let's see if the preacher can figure out what he's supposed to do. I do want to say something today. Hopefully I say something all the rest of the service. But I really enjoyed the music today. I don't know if it's because I set up here or because I'm going to preach, but it seems to me that you pick the best songs when I preach. I almost ask you to sing them over again, especially Grace Alone and Shine on Us. Get them in the next quicker, as quick as you can, Vic. Now, he does everything in order, so stick it in as soon as you can. Grace Alone and Shine on Us. What a blessing. I love to cry when I sing. I don't know if you guys do. Tears come to my eyes when I do that. Karen does it, I'm pretty sure, but I'm not sure. I just appreciate the music here. I hope you do too. This is well thought through and well put together, and it helps us, I hope, to get into the Word of God that we're going to go through now. Don't just play games when you sing. Just listen. These people do it right. Just listen if you don't know the words, and just pick it up. I just had a good time up till now. So you'll see how it goes from now on. I want to pick up the passage of Scripture that was read today that I started out last summer. Last summer, the pastor let me preach for him, which I appreciate very much, the privilege he allows me to preach. Last summer, I picked up Acts chapter 1, and I began to preach through that chapter. And I began to empathize and sympathize with those people. I believe that those people are some of the most blessed people in the world forever. I want you to come with me just a minute. Come with me. Let's look at that group. It starts out with the apostles, but by the time we get done with chapter 1, there's 120 of them. And then by the time Peter gets done preaching there, it's 500. But these, I want you to check the first few, the apostles and the others. As you think about them. These people in chapter 1, a good percentage of them had seen Jesus on the road. They had seen Jesus before he died. A lot of them. Some of the names are there, especially apostles. These people knew Jesus, the Son of God, who became the Son of Man, and they walked with him. Then he died. And then he arose again from the dead. And these people were in a process. These people I'm talking about today saw Jesus die. Many of them saw him be buried. The women went up to see what happened. You remember all that? You remember about Easter coming up. These are the people. These are the people sitting here. And they had seen the resurrected Christ. And by the way, he came along and for 40 days. We are in that 40-day period. Day becomes 50 days. We are in the period in which those people heard, a lot of the disciples especially, they heard what Jesus did, what happened, his salvation in his name. And they heard about all what he was going to do. And he said, by the way, I'm leaving soon. Goodbye. And so last time that I preached in the summer, we saw him go up in the sky. He went up in the sky. He says, you stick around here until the Holy Spirit comes. Now, we know the Holy Spirit came in 10 days. We know Pentecost. They didn't have a 10-day calendar. They were just to wait. That's what I want to talk about today. When you have to wait. What do you do as a Christian? What kind of things do you do when you are waiting on God and waiting for God? Because what I see these people do is what we can do while we wait, not knowing the next step in our life. Most of us don't know the next step. I think I said all the things I'm supposed to say on page one, so I got page one covered. Oh, I want to give you the exact words what Jesus said before my day here, before I start this. These people, look at what he said in verse. Verse 7. Let's read verse 7 and 8. This is what he said, what he did. This is the background of where I'm talking. Here we go. You got it? He said to them, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So it wasn't a long wait, but they didn't know how long. Therefore, when they come together, they ask him, saying, Lord, when are you going to do this? When's the kingdom of God coming? He says, it's not for you to know times or seasons, but rather this is put in the Father's own authority. It's going to happen. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be witnesses. Purpose. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost part of the end of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, and they watched, zippy-poo, up he went. Now, we come to this group. We come to these people, starting with the apostles, as they begin to work through what God has said to them. They did four things I want you to remember today. They did four things, these waiting people. First of all, and these are four things you and I need to practice while we're waiting to do what God wants us to do next. It may be tomorrow, or it may be 20 years from now. Well, not for me, not 20 years. But anyway, some of you may last that long. And whatever it is, while you're waiting, practice this. Number one, they practiced obedience. They did what Jesus told them to do in verse 4. He told them to wait for the promise of the Father, which Jesus described as the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you. That's what they're supposed to wait for. This waiting would not have come naturally. We don't naturally wait. We naturally do. Go. I'm not a good waiter. I love to get going. They could have gone back home. The people on Emmaus Road, they went back home. They were on their way until Jesus said, by the way, and you remember that story. They could have gone back to work. Peter started doing that. They could have started out evangelizing, just doing it. They wouldn't have gotten very far because the Holy Spirit hadn't come in them yet, but they could have done it that way. We can easily understand the problems waiting when you are not sure and not clear what you should do. What we do usually... Are you honest people here today? Have we got a bunch of honest people? What we usually do is try to figure out our own way, do it the best we can. We most often forget to ask, say, by the way, Lord, that was too late. You already did it. So then we say, Lord, would you please help me now that I got in this mess? Do you pray that way? Sometimes I have had to. Sometimes we depend on our own abilities to do what we think is best. That's not all bad, but that's not first. These guys got it right. They are listening to what God wants them to do. I'll give a little quote right here. If you're going to go through a period like that in your life, a delay in God's dealing with you, you learn that this valuable preparation for the future, there is valuable preparation for future work remaining where God has put you. Stay where you are until God says, go. Action will come later. I like that. That's a quote from somebody that knows what they're doing. Okay, number two. They gathered together for fellowship in 13 and 14. I would like to slip in there. Wouldn't you like to? Joseph of Arimathea is talking to, he's talking to Nicodemus. Say Nicodemus. Do you remember, because these guys knew the Bible. A lot of them knew the Old Testament, or they knew a lot of it. Do you remember what it said there? Was that about Jesus? And Mary's there. She comes in there real quick. That's the mother of Jesus, the one we sing about at Christmas. That's the one we see at his death. This is the one right there. She's there. By the way, she saw the resurrected Christ too. How about that? How would you like to be Mary and go through that whole process and see him right there? There he is. She does. She saw it. She's there. These are the people I want you to see. And notice what they do. They get all together and they have fellowship with one another. Now watch it here. We see these disciples, and by the time in verse 15, there's 120 of them. So it's not. It starts out with those lists we got there, but it didn't stay there. There's not just those disciples that had this fellowship. It is a growing group there. And I figure that they included people like, and I just put a little list that I think's there. Think about these. Now, when I put this name out, you'll remember them. Nicodemus, the one that came to Jesus by night to ask him a way of salvation and light. And the answer came, words true and plain. You remember that one? You must be born again. That's what you must do, by the way, is be born again. That's what I could do. Well, I can't do that all the time. We'll just mess it up. I said, I'll just give you a couple other names as soon as I can find them on my page. Mary. And I think Mary, Martha, and Lazarus are there too. Wouldn't you like to observe that? I kind of like to be along. I think they'd like to get in that group. I think they probably were there. I can't prove this. Jesus, Mary's mother was there. I know that. And what I got all done, I thought, who was there? You know who was there? Devout believers. They believed this Jesus. They didn't understand all the way through. They didn't comprehend all the way through. But they believed Jesus. They believed what God said. And we are of that group today. I believe what this says because it's God's book. And when I look in here and see what it says about Jesus on my passages today, I believe it. So I think I'll just get in that group. And I think I'll do what they did. I think I'll have fellowship with people that love the Lord. Do you understand how great that is? When you come to church on a Sunday, you look around here, most of these people you know really well. Many of you have been saved for many years together. When we walk together and talk together, our conversation cannot go on for an hour without talking to the Lord or about the Lord. God has done this. I'm going to ask for this. Would you pray about this? That's the fellowship of the saints. It is of great value. It's concentrated here. When I talk to you about those people, you can see it, can't you? Can't you see those people who saw the resurrected Christ and just saw him go zippy-poo up to heaven? These are the people. You can just see them pulling together, looking to the Old Testament. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. All together because they belong to God. The fellowship of the saints is one of the great blessings that we have today. I encourage you to be with God's people, know God's people, follow God's people, and let's see if we can make some more, because that's what God put us on the earth, is to be not only just fellowshippers, but witnesses. That's what they went to, by the way. Go along. We're going to talk about that some other, next week probably. Let me see if I'm anywhere near where I'm supposed to be. I think I'm okay. I remember this. My mind wanders. You noticed that. Okay. My mind wandered about these people. Then I remembered an old preacher, Dr. Sugden. He was my hero. He was, he was where I am now, an old man. And he said this over and over again. There was a song that was really on our hearts in those days. People need people. People need people. And then you remember the rest of that song? People need the Lord. We sing that sometimes. We need people, and we need people that know the Lord. That's how you get fellowship. Those people that were waiting were doing what God told them to do. Stick here until I tell you what to do next. And by the way, you can just kind of talk to each other about me. And those people knew they didn't have the New Testament. It wasn't written yet. But what they did know and what they did do, we'll see Peter do it later on. I can't spend the time on that. But if you finish the rest of that chapter, chapter 1, you will see Peter talking about and going back into the Old Testament and explaining what God said from the Old Testament. God said that you should have, he explained how they're supposed to get one more apostle. I didn't want to spend a lot of time on that, but he's doing that because he's looked at God's word, what God said, and he's trying to do what God tells him to do. We need to, what we got to put down here, is because I don't want to go beyond this, one of the best things for me is prayer meeting. By the way, it wouldn't kill you to come to prayer meeting. Because do you know what we do in prayer meeting? I got some of the best singers in the world in prayer meeting sometimes. We do the best we can, but we always start out with a song. And the song is one I pick out. And I pick out the song because it either fits what I'm going to say or it fits in my heart. And so we start out, and there's only 15 or so here. And we sit right back there. And because we're all together, we sound pretty good. You know what I practice? There, the fellowship of the saints. I enjoy singing a song to you folks. I love the Lord, and you love the Lord, and we sing about him. That's fellowship. You miss it if you don't have that kind of closeness. I encourage you to get close with the people that know the Lord and follow the Lord, and you will find that to be one of the most enjoyable things. These people got along well in that waiting time there. That's point number two. Point number three says, I'll read that one. Let's look at chapter 1 there, verse 14. Here it says, these all continued with one accord, I got that done, in prayer and supplication. And they just threw this in, by the way, well, whoever wrote this threw this in, with Luke threw this in, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. See, I wasn't expanding that too much. They're there. They are there. But notice what they did. Well, they did what we do on Wednesday night. They prayed. They did what Vic did this morning. They prayed. I try to figure out, let me see how much time I got. Got lots of time. This is how I imagine they prayed. It is an imagination, but it's a good application. This is the way I applied the way they pray, would have prayed, and the way we ought to pray. Do you want to give? We ought to get that? I'll show you. It's not news item to most of you, but it bears repeating. A-C-T-S. They prayed with adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. I'm going to run that through. This is not news item to many of you, but I thought it would be worth repeating. So I'm going to try to actually read my notes, which is quite an amazing thing here. And I'm going to try to see if we can just go through that. And those 10 days I put down, it would be fitting if they prayed like this during those days. Number one, adoration. They certainly would have adored and worshiped the Lord that they just saw go up into heaven. They should have really thanked God for who he was, what they knew about him, what they thought about him. They just, thank you, Lord. They maybe they started the song we sang when I was a little boy. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Maybe they started, well, I don't know. I think my imagination got away there. They practiced adoration, and they were really knew the Lord. They honored the Lord. I know I'm not, I put down her camp on this. They were the ones that recalled what he did, what we read about him. They knew about it. Can you imagine their discussion in those days as they said, oh, what God, remember when Jesus did this? Started out with disciples. They had personal day-by-day stuff. Remember when he said this? Remember when John said this and Peter said this and we had to straighten it out and Jesus said, by the way, you need to do it this way. Remember that? I can just see them adoring the Lord as they remember who he was and what he was like, that perfect one that they walked with those days. We can practice that. We can practice adoration in our prayers. Thank you, Lord, for whatever. Second, confession. If you are a Christian, you know that you're a saved sinner. Have you got that figured out yet? There isn't anybody here in my audience this morning that hasn't sinned in the last, well, I'll give you 24 hours. Maybe a little bit more than that. Well, we are not perfect people. At least you, like, I am not. But I can see these people, they were dedicated. They would think about the lack of faith, the lack of understanding, the lack of appreciation. Have I named any one of your sins yet? Because if you don't give God 100% glory, 100% power, 100% adoration, you missed it. Every one of those people would, and I think this way, sin would be very obvious to these sensitive Christians. When they were talking together, you know, we should have been careful there. We should have really believed that. You can just carry that out any way you want to. But they really, I'm sure, were thinking about what God had done, and they adored him, and they confessed where they should have been confessed their lack of faith in the process, like we often have to do. I think that's the way. So let me just add that to your little list here. I think that sin should be very obvious. If you recognize sin in your life, that doesn't mean you're not a Christian. Quite often, Christians really see sin a lot better than non-Christians, because non-Christians think they're okay most of the time. But if you belong to the Lord and you have a perfect God, you recognize quite often there's something that's between you and the Lord that needs to be changed, needs to be added to. We need to think about that when we pray. Third thing I got written down here is I think that there's no question is thanksgiving. After all he's done for me, how can I do less than give him my best and live for him eternally? After all he's done for me. Are you a thankful Christian? You're on your way to heaven by total grace. The place you were born, the people you're around, the one that led you to the Lord, all this is because God has stepped into your life and said, I'm going to take you. I don't understand that, but I believe it. And I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful that God has saved this old sinner. And I thank the Lord for his forgiveness in the blessing and joy in the Lord. It's a blessing to belong. I belong to the Lord, and he belongs to me. And then a song comes, not for time alone, but for eternity. I don't know if it happens to you, but it happens to me all the time. When I go just like that, when I go through the scripture and start thinking about it, a song will come. Or the words, not the whole song, or even I don't even remember the song, but the words will come. That's our songs are a real blessing to us. If you get it in your heart or your head, just pop it out and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great, there's another song, thy great salvation, so rich and free. Fourth thing they did was is supplication. Help, help, help. Help for strength, help for encouragement, help for wisdom, help for the future. This is what I ask for, to be and to do what God wants me to be and what God wants me to do. I don't expect people to listen to me as an authority on the Bible unless I know it. I don't expect people to listen to me as a Christian that's going to tell them what to do unless I'm practicing it. So I need to be an obedient Christian. I need to ask the Lord for help and strength for the future, to be and do what God wants me to do and what he would have me to do. You want to figure out how that all worked out? Just read the book of Acts, the spreading flame. That's what the book of Acts, now you got your Bible put together right, don't you? The Gospels are when Jesus said and do. That's the ministry. And then this is the bridge. I'm ahead of myself. It's too bad. The Acts is the bridge book. Acts goes from what Jesus said and did to what God wants. He establishes his church and what he wants the church, and that's us, to be and to do. So in the book of Acts, you see how it got started. You see how the God's people did it. They didn't do it all right. There's some people got bumped off because they didn't. And so the Bible is true, by the way. It always tells it the way it is. But when you read the book of Acts, I want you to jump. This is what Jesus said and do. This is what we are to see. We are the church. Next week, we're going to get the church will get born next week in Pentecost. I'm scared to death of that sermon because the more I read it, the less I can figure out how to do it. But I'm going to try to present what happened at Pentecost next week. Well, I guess I got that. I think we're doing okay. Holy mecca, I'm ahead of the game. Number four. Did I give you number three? Number three, a time of constant prayer. Number four. What they did, number four, was they studied. They studied the Word. Peter didn't just come up with this stuff that he's talking about here. When you see Peter preach on chapter 2, that boy knows the Bible. That fella knows what God has been teaching him all along. Of course, this is the Bible. So God puts it in what he needed to say, what we needed to hear for 2,000 years now. We've had this book, the book of Acts, that tells us what the first church people did. Well, the fourth thing they did here was study. Peter quotes scripture when I'm not going to go through all that, but they decide who's going to be the Judas, what happened to Judas. And he dies and the whole thing, the whole story. Well, they had to replace him. And so Peter tries to figure out what God said, how to replace that man. So he's going through all the scripture. The rest of that chapter 2, there's a whole section about how they pick out the guy, last verse in chapter 2, is Matthias. Well, they pick him out because they have been studying the Word of God. They've been listening to God said, this is how you do this, how you do that. This is what you shouldn't do, this is what you should do. They've been looking this all over. And in there, they found that this is the way it should happen. So they do it by scripture. When he tells them they should replace Judas, he's quoting scripture. He quotes a couple of places here. I just wrote down where these quotes are. He's quoted Psalm 69:25, when he says in this chapter, may his place be deserted and let there be no one dwell on it. That's Judas. That's quoted in Psalm 69. And the other one, Psalm 109, verse 8, may another take the place of leadership. He is quoting the Old Testament scripture of how to operate in this waiting period. The super dupe is going to happen in chapter 2. The Spirit is going to come down. And you know all about Pentecost. Do you know all about Pentecost? Amazing thing. But before that time, these people are doing what I've told you. Let me see. I got four things. I actually followed my notes very close. I don't know if you figured that out, but I did, actually. That's a kind of surprise. Let's see if I can tell you what I was supposed to tell you. Number one, if I can find number one. Oh, I had a whole bunch of stuff before I got number one. There we go. That won't work. That's what Vic gave me. Okay, here we go. They practiced obedience. You got that? All right. They gathered for fellowship, that's number two. Number three, they had a constant time of prayer. And number four, they had a time of study. Good example, wouldn't you think? Ah, you thought I was done. You knew better. I got another page. As I thought about all this, I've been reading a book by Franklin Graham about his father, who was famous, Billy Graham, who died within the last year, I think it was, at 100 years old, 99 plus. This is what he said. I was impressed again as he said, he talks about his dad, Franklin does. And this is what he said. He always presented the simple gospel from a pure heart and a very focused message. Those of you and I that are old enough to be in the time when Billy Graham was at his greatest, where people came down by the hundreds to accept the Lord as their Savior, we remember this. What we need to remember is what actually happened. He was God's man in God's place doing God's thing, and great things happened. People got saved by the thousands. And what he preached was pretty simple. If you listen to Billy Graham preach, it wasn't too much news item. It was remembering what Jesus said, what Jesus did, and how to get saved. And this is how Billy Graham used to preach. His focus was on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not just as something that happened, but something that Jesus died, shed his blood on the cross. He died so that we can live. He paid the price for my sin, and he went to hell for my sin. He rose again the third day, victorious over your sin, my sin. And because Jesus came, died on the cross for my sin, if I will by faith, this is what Billy used to say, if I by faith will say, Jesus, I don't understand it all, but I do believe that you are God. I do believe, Jesus, you came. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And I turn, repentance. I turn from, Billy preached that too, turn from my sin, and I by faith accept you as Jesus Christ as my Savior. You could do that today if you're not saved. And that's what Billy Graham preached. What he preached, good enough for me. Don't you think that's pretty good, don't you think? And now we'll go back here, one more shot here. This, before the Pentecost sermon is going to be when Jesus comes. I want to pre-preach my sermon just a minute because I am done. I'm going to be done on time, but I want to get this across. When you get to chapter 2, it wouldn't kill you to read it this week. When you get to chapter 2, when Pentecost comes, I want you to, you will get impressed with the power. You will get impressed with the wind coming, the speaking in tongues over there, fire flopping around at the Holy Spirit. It's a special way that God started the church. Power, fire. But don't get overwhelmed by that stuff. Because when Pentecost came, the purpose was to give power for witness. That's it. Power for witness. I forget this, and I don't do very well at it. When I talk to people about the Lord, I don't seem like I do a very good job. And when I think about people that need to know the Lord, I think, how am I going to do it? I need a power of the Holy Spirit. I need wisdom from God to say the right things. And then I need to do something that these guys learned way back there 2,000 years ago. You know what it is? Just depend on God to do his work. That's what Billy did. When Billy Graham preached, he would stand here like this. He had a littler Bible than mine. I can remember him very well. This will probably fall apart. He'd stand like this, preach the Bible like this. Now he would say, now if all you people that need to know the Lord as your Savior, you would come, we'll show you how, they'll come and they'll show you just how to become a Christian. That's what he did. And God saved people by the thousands. By the hundreds and thousands. I long for those days. We had days here when that did happen some. But you know where I am? Do you understand my sermon? Do you get it? We're waiting. We're waiting. The times of great refreshing comes and goes. And we don't control them. The Lord does. And the time of when God saves people is up to God. Now, I figured this out quite some time ago. If somebody's going to get saved, it's going to be God at work, not me. And I got to remember that. So when God works, people realize, oh, I'm a sinner, I need to be saved. And they say, Lord, I don't understand it all, but I will accept you as my Savior. That's the way it works. That's the way it worked with you. That's the way it worked with me. So when you get a look at the Pentecost, check it all out. Get excited like I got excited. It is the most exciting time in the history of the church, when the Holy Spirit comes down. But I got a good thing to tell you. He never left. The Holy Spirit came to live in the people of the church, and he lives in you. And he lives in me. We are those people. Let's get on with it then, hey? You got it? I'm done preaching. That's enough. We'll sing a song. I know we got a song to sing, and I had it picked out, so I'll find it here in a minute. Vic's got it all picked out for me over here, which I really appreciate. So we're going to put her up on there, and we're going to sing. He Lives. I thought that would be a good song to finish. Because if He lives, I live. You need to stand to sing that.